I greet you this morning from the Word of God. Ephesians 1, verse 2 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." I want to thank each one of you for coming this morning. For whatever reason you came here, it is important to fellowship with God's people. And we find that exhortation in the author of Hebrews. In Hebrews 10:25, he exhorts them. He says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And as God's people, we need each other. We need each other's support and encouragement. And I want to thank you for coming. This morning, I will be in Peter somewhat. I'm not actually continuing where I left off last time, simply for the reason of I need more time. The Lord has led me elsewhere for the time being, and this morning I'm passionate to share what God has laid on my heart. My topic this morning is, do you know the truth about who Jesus Christ is? I want to start out with a question. How many opportunities do you get in one day to witness to someone else? How many of those opportunities do you take? Why do we so often shy away from the opportunity to witness? I think of the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 1:16. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Is that truly in your heart this morning? Can you truly say this morning that Jesus is Lord of your life? In 1 Peter 3:15, he writes here, he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That is what I want to challenge you with this morning. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For the first part of my message, I want to focus on verses 13 to 18, and then I want to, the latter part, focus on verse 15. Before I do that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, as we look into your word, may your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, guide us and teach us. Lord, may we be a light to those we come in contact with, and may we not shy away. Father, forgive us for when we don't speak up when we should. Lord, help us to be bold in our faith and to tell others and tell the lost world of who Jesus is. And we thank you for this morning, Lord, and may your Spirit just guide us all here. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through to 18. "Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, this passage addresses Christians on how we should act when we are falsely accused or unfairly persecuted. Verse 13, it says, "Who is he that will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Although the Apostle Peter knew there were a lot of evil people in the world, and when they would answer with evil, he exhorted Christians to answer evil with good. We have nothing to be afraid of. I love it how Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, in this passage in 1 Peter, it talks about how we should respond. We should feel blessed and happy. Peter reminds us there is even a blessing for us when we suffer for righteousness' sake. And Timothy also tells us, or Timothy or Titus, all who live godly will suffer persecution. God will care for us, especially when we suffer unjustly. Jesus spoke of the same attitude. "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 10:28. The presence or the possibility of suffering for doing good should not make us shy away from doing good. Instead, we should give a special place to God in our hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to explain our faith or give a defense, and always doing it with the right attitude, with meekness and with fear. One writer says, only he who can say, "The Lord is my strength of my life," can go on to say, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" When we look at verse 15, be ready always to give an answer. Answer is the Greek word apologia, where we get our English word apologetics, meaning a careful, logical defense of the Christian faith against the attacks of our enemy. Peter is admonishing believers to always be prepared to give a defense or an apologetic for the faith, especially when confronted by those who deny it and would love to destroy if they could. We have a responsibility to study and to give an answer when we are confronted. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed," and he goes on to say, "rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He also talks about in verse 15, a reason. The Greek word is logos, from which we derive our word logical. We do have logical, factual reasons for our hope in Jesus Christ. Our answer should not be given with pride and arrogance, but rather with meekness and fear. We want to win souls for Christ, not argue and destroy our witness. As Ephesians 4:30 says, that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We are instructed to keep a good conscience, regardless of what people say about us. If you are truthful, honest, and show love in your response or actions, it may shame those who falsely accuse you. Nobody wants to suffer, but if we must, may it be for doing good and not evil. It is better, verse 17, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I want to shift our focus now to always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks of the reason of the hope that is in you. I don't know, when you think of all your opportunities that you've had to witness, what have they been about? In all my experiences in witnessing to others, the topic of Jesus Christ has been the most discussed topic. I believe it is very important that we communicate the truth about who Jesus Christ is. You may know what you believe in your heart, but can you communicate that truth to others who stand up against you? Can you tell them why you believe what you believe? The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. Many believe that he's a good person, that he's a good teacher, he's a good prophet, but not that he is God. The devil wants to destroy everything that God has created or instituted or said. The devil wants people to believe a lie about who Jesus is. The devil wants to believe that you can believe what you want, that he is just a good person, and that there are many ways to heaven, but that is false. Jesus is God. You know, sometimes I wonder, why is he working so hard to deceive people? Because Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to salvation. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As time goes on, I see it more and more that the devil is attacking everything that God has made. God made man and woman. The devil is attacking that and saying that you can be who you want to be. We are made in God's image. Jesus Christ is God. He came to earth as a man. He was truly man. He was truly God. But my question here for you today is, who do you believe that Jesus is? And can you tell others the truth about who Jesus is? I've had numerous opportunities to witness to others. And one good test to see what people believe, we find in 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle John says, 1 John 4, starting verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And that is true, we all know that. There are many false prophets and false teachers out there. "Hereby," verse 2, "know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Now here's a test. How do you know if someone is true and genuine in their faith? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. When you witness to someone, you can ask them what do they believe about who Jesus is. True prophecy, true teaching will present the true Jesus. In the Apostle John's day, there were many Gnostics, and a Gnostic is someone who claimed to have special wisdom and knowledge from God. And these teachers, they would deny that Jesus is God. Some would also deny if he had truly come in a real body of flesh and blood. But many of these Gnostic influenced false teachers said that Jesus, being God, could not have actually become flesh and blood, because God could have no partnership with impure flesh. That is what some of these false teachers were saying. Now in the world today, there are many, many people that deny that Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims. There are many groups, many people say that Jesus is not God. And today I'm passionate about saying that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, who came in human flesh, who died on the cross, rose again the third day according to scriptures, and ascended to the Father. And all those who accept him as Lord and Savior will have eternal life with God in heaven forever. John 1:12, it says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. The denial of Jesus' true identity is the spirit of Antichrist. And the Apostle John, he says it here. The spirit of Antichrist already is in the world. There's many that deny Jesus. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And he also talks about that the Antichrist is coming with a capital A. The devil is trying hard to deceive people into believing there are many ways to heaven, that good works will get you to heaven. That is all false. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I want to share some scripture with you this morning to help you effectively witness to others about who the Bible says that Jesus is. I'll be turning to numerous portions of scripture here, and if you want to write them down, if that helps. But first of all, that Jesus is God in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus." Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." So here a few verses that say that Jesus is God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verses 22 to 33. And here again, Jesus speaking with the Jews, he says, "I and the Father are one." John 10, verse 22, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And notice verse 30, "I and my Father are one." And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." So here again, in Jesus' encounter with the Jews here, they wanted to stone him because Jesus told them that he is God. Philippians chapter 2. I'm sharing all these scriptures with you so that you can prepare your heart, and when you have opportunities to witness, that you can share the truth to others. Philippians 2, starting at verse 6, speaking of Jesus, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." You can simply ask yourself the question, why was it not robbery to be equal with God? Because Jesus is God. It says here, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here again we see Jesus is truly God and truly man. I'll share a few more verses. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 16. I love this verse. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." 1 Timothy 3:16. "God was manifest in the flesh." This is a good one to use when witnessing. If someone asks you about who Jesus is, share this verse with them. "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." God was manifest in the flesh. Another verse that Jesus is God John 1, verse 14. Jesus was God and Jesus was man. John 1, verse 14. The Word, this is Jesus, was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What I like about this verse in the Greek, when it says here, the Word, Jesus, was made flesh, the Greek word means that there was a change of condition. There was a change of condition. Jesus was not created, but rather the Word became flesh. Very important. Some more verses I want to share with you. Jesus is God and he's always existed. John 17, verse 5. Jesus was praying to the Father. John 17, verse 5, he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus' glory with the Father before the world was. There's another verse that says that Jesus is God. He's always existed. He was not created. Very important. Turn back to John chapter 1. Now some people, when witnessing to people, some will say that, and I've heard this many times, that Jesus was first created and then God created the rest of the world. That is false, because Jesus has always been there. And I'll show you a verse here in John 1 verse 3. John 1 verse 3, it says that all things were made by him. By who? By Jesus. Everything was made by Jesus. And then he goes on to say, and without him, not anything was made that was made. So it is impossible for Jesus to have been created. He has always existed. He has always been there. Those false teachers that tell you that Jesus was first created, then God created the rest of the world, that is false. Because right here it clearly says that all things were made by him, by Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. Very important. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. There are more verses who say who Jesus is. Colossians 1, 15 through to 17. It says here in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Here again in verse 15, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. And one important thing to note that an image is a likeness, and a likeness is not an image. Does that make sense? An image is a likeness, and a likeness is not an image. Who is the image of the invisible God? Speaking of Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 15, he says, the firstborn of every creature. Now some false teachers just love to pounce on this verse and say that he is the firstborn of every creature, and they say that it means that Jesus was first created and then God created all the world. But this actually means, in the Greek, the word prototokos means he was the first one born to die, to rise again, to never die again. Very important. First one born to die, to rise again, to never die again. When you think of the story of Lazarus, he was raised from the dead, but he died again. The firstborn of every creature also means highest in rank. Verse 16, by him all things were created. Here again, it makes it very clear that everything was created by Jesus. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And here again, it proves that he could not have been created because everything was created by him. And in this short little verse, in verse 17, just a little side note. When you think of our vast universe, how everything is held together, how everything doesn't just fly apart, just read verse 17 and then you'll have your answer. He is before all things, and by him, speaking of Jesus, all things consist, or it actually means hold together. Everything is held together. It's an amazing verse. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? And here's an important verse, verse 8. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. You notice that, what it says here? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. Here again, just another point to prove that Jesus is God. I hope you're excited about all these verses as what I am. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. You will also find in the scriptures that God is the first and the last. Jesus is also the first and the last. Revelation 1, verse 8, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, Jesus speaking, to give every man according as his work shall be. And then he says in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And that is who Jesus is. He's the beginning and the end. He has always been. He has always existed. A few more verses. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus speaking, he is the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered, and he said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And then said they unto him, Where is thy father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasure as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And here again, he makes it clear, had you known me, you would have known my father as well. Scripture is clear and consistent that Jesus was man, he was truly man, and he's truly God. The reason why I'm sharing this with you, I want you to tell others about the truth. Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to give us abundant life. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. One John 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That is why, one of the reasons why Jesus came to this earth, that we might live through him. You know, friends, you know why I'm so passionate about the truth about who Jesus is? We have a duty to tell others, you know, that there are everlasting consequences to not understanding who Jesus is. And I can share that with you in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. And here it says it so clear. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now listen to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is why I'm so passionate about who Jesus Christ is. And I want to leave you with a question. Who is he to you? Is he your Lord and Savior? Or is he just a good teacher and a good prophet to you? Ask yourself that question today. Doesn't matter how old you are, why you're here. Ask yourself, who is Jesus to you? I remember the one conference that I attended, a prophecy conference. And the words of this one speaker, I still remember that. It's many years ago. And he says, how much do you have to hate someone to not tell them about who Jesus Christ is? For those who are truly born again, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them about who Jesus Christ is? We are to be a light in this world. We are to tell others, not to be ashamed or to shy away. Go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. That is our duty. Please bow with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that each one here, we would ask ourselves today, who do we believe that Jesus is? And I truly pray that each one would be able to say that he is my Lord and Savior. And if we cannot say that we would truly say that before we leave here today. Lord, your word is clear that there are everlasting consequences. It is only through Jesus that we can have salvation. Father, we thank you for sending your Son into the world to save sinners like myself. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that those who've accepted you as Lord and Savior, that we would not hold back, that we would tell others about who Jesus is. Father, I pray that you would bind the hands of the enemy, and that we would be a light to those around us. Father, at this time, I also want to pray for the upcoming events here. Think of VBS and all the planning that has gone into it, and all those that will be teaching, all those that will be helping, those that will be attending. Lord, I pray that you would work in each heart. I pray that you would bind the hands of the enemy. I pray that you would prepare every teacher to teach the truth, that your Spirit would guide each one. And Lord, I pray that you would be with all the children that come. Lord, that they would come and hear about you and open their heart to you. Father, may you bless each one that has a part. May your name be honored and glorified. Father, I pray at this time for those in our congregation. Lord, I know there's many that are hurting here in our midst. And Lord, you know every heart, and I pray that you would be with each one. Father, I pray for Brother Henry Friesen, Lord. At this time, I pray that your healing hand be with him. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen his faith, that no matter what comes his way, that he would grow stronger in you. Father, prepare his heart for what is to come. And Lord, be with the family as well. I just pray that they would all work together in unity and love. Father, I pray for Brother Bernie Ginther as well, that your healing hand be with him too, Lord, and that your will be done. I pray for healing if it is your will. And be with the family. May you comfort them and may you strengthen him in his walk. Father, I thank you for each one who's come this morning and that your word would have encouraged each one. And thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
King of creation, O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join in the glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord who are all things so wondrously radiant. Shelter thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desire have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise ye the Lord who doth prosper thy work and thy family. Surely his goodness and mercy he daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend thee. Praise ye the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly forever adore him.
As I close here this morning, it is so important to know who Jesus is. One pastor said it well. You can be right about so many facts in the Bible, but if you are wrong about who Jesus Christ really is, you're wrong enough to lose your own soul. As I close here this morning, I want to leave you with another question. Are you excited to see Jesus? You are a born-again believer. That is something we are looking forward to. Jesus coming back. And his word, he says he's coming back, and he will come back. As believers, that is something we are looking forward to. His glorious appearing. And for those who know about Jesus, my prayer is that you would come to know who Jesus truly is. Knowing about Jesus or knowing about God is not enough. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. May we be encouraged this morning. May our desire be to follow Jesus. I want to thank each one of you for coming. I want to thank the praise team. Thank you for all the songs that were sung here. May our Lord have received all the honor and glory. And I close this morning the benediction found out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Please bow with me. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope, through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God's peace and protection go with each one of you. You're dismissed.